What I've learned in the 10 years of running around the country talking about it is the conversation is almost as important as the actual flow of capital. It is, what's the word, abundantly clear to me that there is a need for nuanced, authentic public conversation about what's broken in finance and food. And obviously, politics is a whole nother thing. And we don't go there overtly, but quietly, we're talking about community and democracy and collaborative decision making and a whole bunch of things.
So this is not just becoming a member of a CSA or shopping at a farmer's market and supporting your farmer economically that way. This is actually investors directing part of their money to, are they specific funds that are dedicated towards local agriculture?
No, it's specific individual. So it would be like in Boulder, some of us put some money into Fresh Times Restaurant. But yeah, we've helped about a dozen local enterprises around here in various ways. So I'm glad you clarified that. So it is in spirit very much a kindred activity to belonging to a CSA or shopping at the farmer's market. And I sometimes refer to slow money as the CSA of investing. I mean, it's the same spirit. It's just groups of people self-organizing. But rather than supporting one farm as a customer, basically, we are aiming to support a bunch of farms. And the money, we use the word investing. It's definitely not typical investing. And in fact, the Soil Project, which I know we're going to talk about a little bit today, the book is called Soil, and it's also a project, Slow Opportunities for Investing Locally, which spells soil. We have donations coming in, and then the members who donate vote on 0% loans.
Well, what is the Soil Project? Because that is launching this week.
Okay, so the Soil Project is an effort that has kind of grown out of the last couple of years of me kind of reflecting on the first 10 years of slow money. That's counting from when my book came out, the first book. And just think about, is there any way to just provide a little more structure and a little more there so it's not just a well-intentioned group of people all over the place doing stuff? Reflecting on that, I gradually came up with this model, which is kind of simple. It's really pretty darn simple. But we hadn't done it before. And the model was, what if instead of having groups of individual investors who are all trying to make a little money, even though the vast majority of them are thinking in somewhat concessionary terms, still, it's kind of a messy process. How little, how much, how are they structuring it? So I was thinking, how can I just create a little structure? So we came up with this model, which is, what if we take donations? Now that's a whole, oh my God, it's charitable money, not typical investment money. So it comes from a different place in your portfolio. But you're putting in whatever you can afford to leave in. And then we can use that money to make 0% loans. And it doesn't take a financial genius to listen to that, to go, wow, that is not typical of anything. I think that's what's needed, because we're trying to help what I would call them the heroes of the modern economy, small diversified organic farmers, people who are doing in the dirt what we need to do to solve climate change and health and community. And it sounds hokey, but that's what I believe. And so in order to finance that, you would have to come up with some different model. And so the Soil Project, we have about 75 people who have pooled about $230,000, meaning contributed it in amounts ranging from $250 to $50,000. One person, one vote, no matter how much money you put in. Farmers are in for $25. I don't want people here. We're not trying to take money from farmers. We're trying to get money to them. So they have a lower hurdle if they want, although some have come in at a higher level. And we are having our first official members meeting tomorrow in Boulder, and we're going to probably make our first loan tomorrow, but that's up to the members. And if you just think about that for a second, and you think about if we are able to sustain a few hundred thousand dollars or so of contributions from 100 or so people every year, and do that to make 0% loans, eventually that will grow very slowly into a substantial pool of capital. Completely member controlled, non-institutional, very grassroots, and hopefully we can make it done, especially here in Boulder, where we have a lot of open space and a lot of conversation about how to do what we all want to do. But it's complicated because it's politics and different things. And this way we'd have a private pool of capital that act a little bit as a catalyst, hopefully.
In terms of everyone's role in this, not everyone has funds to invest or donate, but everyone buys food at some point. And so I suppose everybody has an opportunity to have some type of impact in this. So,
well, you already started there, Maeve, when you talked about CSAs and farmers, you know, so absolutely use consumer dollars the best way you can. I'm a big fan of CSAs, community supported agriculture. And just to make sure everybody listening knows what that is, it's where a group of the customers of the farmer at the beginning of the year, they all put in an equal share and help the farmer with the upfront expenses. And then they get it every week, they pick up a share of the food that is produced. So you're really sharing risk with the farmer. And I'm a huge fan of that. And there are quite a few of those in Boulder. We're blessed to live in a place where there's a bunch of decent sized CSAs. So, you know, that's a way of using your more of your, you would tend to think of that as your consumer dollars because you're getting food back for the dollars. This is just the next little leap. It's and to your point about not everybody can do it. So I guess I would answer, just join a CSA. I mean, that'd be my first answer. Just try to buy food direct from a farmer. Go to a farm stand. That would be the next answer. Or go to the farmer's market. That's a really profound thing. So we shouldn't gloss over that. That's a form of investing in a way in the future of your community. You're supporting the farmer as directly as possible. So the dollars are going straight to a farmer. You're cutting out a lot of intermediaries. Why is that important? It's important because in 1900, about 40 cents or 45 cents of every dollar that an American spent on food went to a farmer. And today it's less than 10 cents. The rest goes to all, I'm not going to mention any names, goes to various intermediaries, retailers, marketers, processors, you know. So being a consumer of at whatever level you can to buy as direct as you can from farmers and to buy the right stuff, that's great. Now, I do just want to add one thing. To us, having this unusual thing where people can donate $250 or $50,000 or more dollars, in finance, that is a fairly democratic thing, meaning we're trying to create a pool of capital that will eventually amount to something. So we didn't start at $5, let's say. We just kind of arbitrarily, and we're experimenting. We might lower the thing in the future to let more people get involved, but we were kind of balancing the need for social cohesion of the group that does it with the amount of dollars we were trying to raise. But I'm glad you brought up the kind of the more democratic, the question of democratic participation.
Well, the first meeting of the Soil Project happens this week, but for people who would like to get involved, how's the best way to connect?
Well, no magic there. We just do, I happen to be located in Boulder, so we have a little NGO called the Slow Money Institute. So we're here. We have a website, slowmoney.org. You can find all the contact information on there or whatnot. We do have some listeners may have heard of Mad Agriculture and Phil Taylor, and I know he's been on the show here. So the next one of those meetings is April 18th out at the Grange, and that meeting is going to be dedicated to my book and the Soil Project. But actually, that meeting is going to be more about the book than the project, actually. So I do hope we can turn our attention a little bit to the book, because I took a bold path and went poetic and photographic, and those who have heard me before kind of know a little bit about where I've come from. It's not a traditional finance approach, in case you couldn't tell so far. But on the writing side, it's really about trying to go deep on imagination and social change and thinking about the counterculture and the military-industrial complex, like broad arcs of history that got us where we are that don't just have to do with food. It's rooted in the food thing. That's the action we're taking, but some of the historical and cultural issues are very important to me.
Well, that's the book, Soil 2017, and Woody Tash will speak about that at the Altona Grange. That's on April 18th, part of the monthly Mad Agriculture series. This week, we'll see the launch of the Soil Project, but also the Conference on World Affairs is happening. And on Thursday at 12:30, you're going to be speaking on a panel looking at the future of small farms.
Yeah, I'm delighted that CWA is, they've started including a food track every year, which is great. And, I think anyone interested in world affairs needs to be interested in small-scale agriculture. And that's actually an oxymoron to still quite a few people, especially in the U.S., where they tend to think of, large problems need large solutions. And we tend to think, obviously, industrially. It's like, how do we get organized to have massive amounts of this or that, massive amounts of capital, massive amounts of food, all that stuff. And so it's a little hard sometimes if people wrap their head around the idea that something small could be a solution to something big. You might have detected a little warmed over Wendell Berry in what I just said, and that's quite all right with me.
Well, people can find out more about the work of Woody Tash, his book, The Soil Project. It's all online, slowmoney.org. Woody, thank you.
Thank you.